Well, as you might suspect, on this, the Sunday of Epiphany, the lectionary lesson that we will read for this Sunday is a portion of the visit of the Magi as recorded in Matthew. We'll be reading the first 12 verses of the second chapter of Matthew. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's actually on page 1 of the New Testament portion of your Pew Bibles. So I invite you to listen for the Word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the most beloved of the Christmas stories is the visit of the Magi, those mysterious visitors from the east who seek out Jesus and offer to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi worshiped Christ with their gifts. Well, this morning I'm not going to preach a sermon in the typical sense of a sermon. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a story about a gift. It's a Christmas story, really. But as Epiphany means to reveal or make known, make manifest, like if you have an epiphany about something, it means that you have a revelation about something, you have an insight has been revealed about a particular issue. Well, then this story is also an Epiphany story, as the nature of giving as Christ modeled it is revealed. It's a story told from the perspective of a 15-year-old boy. It was from my pa that I learned the greatest joy in life comes from giving, not from receiving. It was Christmas Eve, 1881. I was 15 years old and feeling like the world had caved in on me because there just hadn't been enough money to buy me the hunting rifle that I'd wanted so bad that year for Christmas. We did the chores early that night for some reason. I just figured Pa wanted a little extra time so we could read from the Bible. So after supper, I took off my boots and stretched out in front of the fireplace. I was kind of feeling sorry for myself and, to be honest, wasn't in much of a mood to read Scripture. But Pa didn't get the Bible. Instead, he bundled up and went outside. I couldn't figure it out because we had already done all the chores. But soon Pa came back in. It was a cold, clear night out, and there was some ice in his beard. "Come on, Matt," he said. "Bundle up. It's cold outside tonight." I was really upset then. Not only was I not getting my hunting rifle for Christmas, now Pa was going to drag me out into the cold. I got up and put my boots back on and got my cap, coat, and mittens. Ma gave me a mysterious smile as I opened the door to leave the house. Something was up, but I didn't know what. Outside, I became even more dismayed. there in front of the house was the work team already hitched up to the big sled. We never hitched up the big sled unless we were going to haul a big load. Pa was already up on the seat, reins in hand. The cold was already biting at me. No, I wasn't happy. Pa pulled the sled around to the front of the woodshed. "I think we'll put on the high sideboards," he said. The high sideboards? It had been a bit much bigger job than I had wanted to do with just the low sideboards, but whatever it was we were getting ready to do would be a lot bigger with the high sideboards on. Pa went into the woodshed and came out with an armload of wood, the wood I'd spent all summer hauling from the hill down the mountain, and then all fall sawing into blocks and splitting. "Pa," I asked, "what are we doing?" "You been by the Widow Jensen's lately?" he asked. The Widow Jensen lived about 2 miles down the road. Her husband had died a year or so before and left her with 3 children, the oldest being 8. "Yeah," I said, "but why?" "Well, I rode by just today. Little Jake was out digging around in the wood pile trying to find a few chips. They're out of wood, Matt." That was all he said, and he turned and went back into the woodshed. Of course, I followed him. We loaded the sled so high that I wondered if the team was going to be able to pull it. Then we went to the smokehouse, and Pa took down a big ham and a side of bacon. He handed them to me and then went and got a sack of flour, which he flipped over his shoulder, and a smaller sack of something he grabbed in his left hand. "What's in the little sack?" I asked. "Shoes. They're out of shoes. They're just wearing gunny sacks for wrapped around their feet. I got the little children. I got the children a little candy too. Just not Christmas without a little candy." We rode the 2 miles to Widow Jensen's pretty much in silence. I tried to think through what Pa was doing. We didn't have much by worldly standards. Of course, we did have a big wood pile. We also had meat and flour, so we could spare that. But I knew we didn't have any money, so why was Pa buying them shoes and candy? Really, why was he doing any of this? Widow Jensen had closer neighbors than us. It shouldn't have been our concern. We came in from the blind side of the Jensen house and unloaded the wood as quietly and quickly as possible. And then we took the meat and flour and shoes to the door and knocked. The door opened a crack. "Who is it?" "Lucas Miles, ma'am, and my son, Matt." Widow Jensen opened the door and let us in. The children were wrapped in a blanket and were sitting in front of the fireplace by a pretty pitiful fire. "We brought you a few things, ma'am," Pa said, and set down the sack of flour. I put the meat on the table. Then Pa handed her the sack that had the shoes in it. She opened it hesitantly and took out the shoes, one pair at a time. There was a pair for her and one for each of the children. Sturdy shoes. Good shoes. Shoes that would last. I watched her carefully. She bit her lower lip to keep it from trembling. And then tears filled her eyes and started running down her cheeks. She looked up at Pa like she wanted to say something, but the words just wouldn't come out. "We brought a load of wood too, ma'am," Pa said. "Matt, go bring in enough to last for a little while." I wasn't the same person when I went out to bring in the wood. I had a lump in my throat, and to be honest, I had a few tears in my eyes as well. In my mind, I kept seeing those 3 kids huddled around the fireplace and their mother standing there with tears running down her cheeks and so much gratitude in her heart that she couldn't speak. My heart swelled within me and a joy filled my soul that I'd never known before. I had given at Christmas many times before, but never when it had made so much difference. I soon had the fire blazing and everyone's spirits soared. The kids started giggling when Pa gave them each a piece of candy, and Widow Jensen looked on with a smile that probably hadn't crossed her face in a long while. She finally turned to us. "God bless you," she said. "The children and I have been praying that the Lord would send one of His children to spare us." In spite of myself, the lump returned to my throat and the tears welled up in my eyes again. I never thought of Pa in those exact terms before. as a child of God, sent by God. But after Widow Jensen mentioned it, I could see that it was probably true. I was sure that a better man than Pa had never walked the earth. Tears were running down Widow Jensen's face again when we stood up to leave. Pa took each kid in his big arms and gave them a hug. They clung to him and didn't want to let go. I could see that they missed their Pa, and I was still glad that I had mine. At the door, Pa turned to Widow Jensen and said, "The missus wanted me to invite you and the children over for Christmas dinner tomorrow. The turkey will be more than the three of us can eat. We'll be by to get you at 11. It'll be nice to have some little ones around again. Matt here hasn't been little for quite a spell." Widow Jensen nodded and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brother Miles." Out on the sled, I felt a warmth that came from deep within, and I didn't even notice the cold. When we had gone a ways, Pa turned to me and said, "Matt, I want you to know something. Your Ma and me have been tucking a little money away here and there all year so that we could buy you that hunting rifle, but we didn't have quite enough. Then yesterday, a man who owed me a little money from years back happened to stop by and made things square. Your Ma and me were really excited thinking about how now we could get you that rifle that you wanted. And I started into town this morning just to do that very thing. But on the way, I saw little Jakey out there scratching in the woodpile with his feet wrapped in gunny sacks, and I knew what I had to do. So, son, I sent the money for shoes and a little candy for those children. I hope you understand." I understood, of course, and my eyes became wet with tears again. I understood very well, and I was so glad Pa had done it. Just then, the hunting rifle seemed kind of low on my list of priorities. Pa had given me a lot more. And for the rest of my life, whenever I saw any of the Jensens or split a block of wood, I remembered. And remembering brought back that same joy I felt riding along side Pa that night. Pa had given me much more than a rifle that night. He had given me the best Christmas of my life. Friends, if what we are about is not the utilization of our gifts, our time, our talent, our resources, our energy, our creativity, in service to fellow human beings, brothers and sisters, we are chopping the wrong block of wood. Matt remembers that particular Christmas as the best of his life, not because of what he got, but because of what he gave, and he was blessed. Jesus said, "Love God and love your neighbor. I came not to be served, but to serve." It's a calling which, when we follow, produces the best Christmas, the best New Year, the best time of our lives. Let us pray.